Welcome to the Early Accountability Podcast hosted by Kimmy Walker. Kimmy has a track record of serving as a behavior change and improvement catalyst for individuals, groups, and organizations. Get ready to make the best version of yourself a priority. Now welcome Kimmy Walker.
Kimmy Walker here, and welcome to the next episode of the Early Accountability Podcast. Tonight, my guest on the show is Leonardo Cavalli. He is a published author, an actor, a singer, and a love and life coach. Leonardo, thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you for having me, Kimmy. I appreciate it.
Why don't you start by telling the audience a little bit about yourself, just introducing the initiatives that you've worked on, how you got into doing them.
Yeah. So I am a New York-based motivational speaker. I'm an author. I'm a singer as well. But I tie all those things together by doing a lot of love and life coaching. So a lot of times I'll be going to colleges or to different conventions and sharing my thoughts on love and how people can protect themselves and also make their love last. So obviously I went through a divorce when I was 24, hence the name of the book, 24 and Divorced. So, you know, that's what I've kind of focused the rest of my life on, is making sure that people are able to find love and, more importantly, keep it.
Okay. So you said you got married, well, you had divorced at 24.
Yeah.
Hence the title of the book, 24 and Divorced. How old were you when you got married?
I was actually 23.
Wow. Okay. Why don't you talk about that? Do you feel like you were too young when you got married, or?
And that's a great question. I always get that. Well, you know, do you feel like you're too young? But honestly, I don't feel like it's about being too young. You know, my father always said that, you know, you have choices in life and you can either be a young wise man or an old fool. And I bring that up because even within my book, I talk about two of my good friends. It's Dave and Brittany Fox. They got married when they were 21 and she was about actually 18. But this past year, they just celebrated 10 years of marriage. So like I said, it's not necessarily an age thing, but it's more of a filtering thing. And I didn't do a good enough job of filtering my partner at that time.
Okay. You can pull up a great point. When we talk about early accountability, we're really talking about how people can really align themselves and take steps and actions to help them achieve a personal or professional goal in the very beginning or early stages. I know in your book, you talk a lot about red flags or warning signs. What are some tips you would give people who are just starting the process of dating or courting somebody new? Are there certain things you feel like they should look out for, certain questions they should ask their partner or potential partner?
Absolutely. There's definitely things that they should look out for. And there's different things that people need to look for within themselves. I always recommend that people spend a good amount of time with themselves, because as you're becoming one with someone else, you need to know what your triggers are. You need to even know what your love language is. You know, Gary Chapman talks about that within his book, where he talks about the five love languages. Do you actually know how you need to be loved? Because that's where a lot of infidelity comes in, because a husband may be doing something for a wife, but that's not the way that she needs to be loved. And some people don't realize that there are several different ways of love. In regards to like filtering things out, when you also know yourself and know who you want to be, it's a lot easier for you to say, well, listen, this is a nice person, but I'm going to slide you into the friend zone, with all due respect, just so that you realize, listen, my goals are here and your goals are over there. And even though you're a nice person, every good person isn't a good person for you. Mm. You know? In saying that, I think it's important for people just to also keep their eyes open. In the book, I talk about how research has been done through, you know, scientists at Harvard who've talked about how there are heightened amounts of dopamine, which is what people call the happy hormone, in especially the first 6 months of dating. And they say that it has the same effect that cocaine has on people as well. So when they talk about love is a drug, it really is. And a lot of people who are under the influence at the time are not making wise decisions. And a lot of times we try and force things to be good. Like, oh yeah, girl, I know he punched me in the eye, but you know, it's nothing. You know what I'm saying? He really loved me. Like, no, there's something wrong there, which is why a lot of times we see good people going back to bad relationships because they're addicted to that high.
What are some signs that someone is not in a good relationship, or you're starting off on a really, really bad path in the beginning of a relationship?
One big red flag for me is someone steering away from their core values. You know, if you don't spend enough time with yourself, you don't even know what you believe. You know, there's certain things that you may have on your list as a part of your life that, you know, like, well, hey, listen, I can compromise here, I can compromise there, because these aren't foundational principles in my life. But then when you start twisting things around, and before you know it, you're not hanging out with the people that you used to, they're pulling you away from your family and from your friends and from things that would give you life as well. I see a lot of relationships where people are sacrificing everything they love just to be with that other person. But if someone actually loves you, then they'll also love the things that you like to be part of as well. You know, they'll want to nourish you. They'll want to, even if I'm not into hiking, guess what? Listen, I'm going to try and make that a part of my life as well, because it's important to you and not make you give up everything. Love is also compromised to a certain degree.
I know you talk a lot. We've talked a lot about the beginning parts of a relationship. What if someone is in a committed relationship, whether it be dating exclusively, a marriage, and things are just not working out? What kind of tips do you give for that as far as early accountability? Like, okay, something just feels wrong. What kind of conversations should that person have with their partner?
I always think that it's good for people to have mentorship in regards to, okay, if it's me and my girl, we need to be able to have somebody that we can both agree on that can help us come to a common ground if we do get an argument. If for some reason we and her cannot come to an agreement together, then here, there's somebody else that we both trust that will be a neutral voice in this, so that we can not just somebody that I'm going to tell my homeboys and you telling your homegirls this stuff, because then all of a sudden that makes everything messy. And now there's way too many people in your relationship. Does that make sense?
Okay. So an older person, or?
Doesn't necessarily have to be an older person, you know, but just somebody that you both trust that can be an actual neutral voice to you both in that situation.
So you think there should be one mentor for both people? So
doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, just one, you know, she may have her own mentor, he may have his own mentor. And then there might be also just another central person that they both can agree on that, hey, listen, we both trust this person. We both trust this person's judgment, that if we do get in a disagreement and we can't come to common ground, then we do trust to bring this person in. But we both are going to agree that we're now going to bring this person in.
Okay.
You know, almost like a marriage counselor. You know, may not even be a family member, but maybe a marriage counselor, maybe someone from your church, like an elder.
Right. Okay, I know you do a lot of motivational speaking as well. What are some of the topics that you coach people on?
A lot of the things that I focus on really have to do with loving yourself. Mm-hmm. And then also in regards to depression, because I firsthand dealt with depression. I dealt with suicidal thoughts. So I know what it's like to be down and out. You know, I've gone from being very successful at a young age to then being homeless. When you haven't lived much life, you could easily think that's the end. You know, so I always encourage people that no matter what you've been through, keep going. Just keep living. Just one more day and things can definitely get better.
I know in your book, you talked about kind of having to start all over, kind of being like at the top of the world, right, and then literally having a series of very humbling and life-altering events, some of which may have been surrounded around your relationship at the time, or relationship with yourself. If someone has felt like they kind of lost their self in a relationship, and they may have been where you're at, like, I'm at rock bottom, I'm kind of having to start completely over, what kind of advice or steps would you tell them to take for them to move forward?
Now, is this someone hitting rock bottom while they're actually with somebody? You know, or they?
Sure.
In that case, if you feel like you've lost yourself and kind of like in a relationship, it's never too late to take a step back, you know, and say, hey, listen, I need some space right now. You know, it's not for me to go out and be promiscuous. I just need some space. I need to reevaluate some things and do it in the kindest way possible. But at the end of the day, you need to be your number one priority, because you're not going to love other people properly if you're not loving yourself first.
Okay. Awesome. So taking a step back. How long was the process for you to bring yourself up, as you said, from the suicidal thoughts and the depression? How long was that process?
It was a little over a year, you know, because slowly but surely, I was taking steps to get myself back. But a big part of that was me learning to be grateful again. Because even though I had lost my cars and lost my home, and I still had people that loved me. You know, I remember sleeping on one of my friend's mom's couches during that time when I'd literally just lost everything. And she'd wake me up in the morning and she'd say, good morning, King. And I'd like look around like, I don't know who you think you're talking to, because I'm sleeping on your couch right now.
Right.
But for her to be like, it's not about your cars. She's like, it's not about your homes. She's like, you're a king, even if you don't have a crown. That's just who you are, you know? And just realizing that it's not any of the material things. Like, I felt like I was king because I had those material things. And then realizing that I can be happy without any of these things, but I'm still a valuable person, even if I don't have valuables, quote unquote, that I'm still worth something to somebody. I think that just goes deep. And I want people to understand that you are somebody amazing, whether anyone else acknowledges it or not. Amazing is amazing. You know, a diamond is a diamond. And you are, even if you got a little dirt on you, hey, diamonds got dirt on them. You know, shake it off and keep shining.
Yes, I think that's very true. You brought up a lot of really good points. I think one being, like you said, it was a year. It took a while for you to really build yourself back up, but you had to be very consistent in the process. Sometimes people may think things would just happen overnight. Okay, in a week, I'm going to feel better and be over it, whether it's heartbreak or just, like you said, life circumstances changing around you, shifting, losing valuables. You still have worth that's within that nobody can take away from you. Why don't you talk a little bit more to the audience about where they can find you, Ed, on social media, on the World Wide Web? And also, why don't you tell them some of the different things that you've done as far as like your music that you've recorded?
Yeah. First things first, you know, there's my book, 24 and Divorced. You can find it on my website, which is www.24anddivorcedpasttense.com. Again, that's www.24anddivorced.com. You can find me on Instagram at King_Cavalli, which is C-A-V-A-L-L-I. On Facebook, it's simply Leonardo Cavalli. Again, you can find my books also in Barnes & Noble, also on Amazon. And you can find my music. So there's a 24-track album that goes with my book, 24 and Divorced, because that's a major thing that helped save my life, is just being able to record those things, record songs and vent. And so you can get that kind of in a package. So they're on iTunes, on Tidal, on Spotify, you can find the music. That's King Cavalli. The album is called Wounded, also on SoundCloud. And again, you can get the book as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much. So Leonardo, why don't you tell us, what is your daily mantra? What's your quote or some of the quotes you live by? I'm sure you have many. You've dropped quite a few gems so far. What kind of pushes you forward and keeps you going?
One of the major things for my life is this vision that I have for 24 and Divorce, and that is keeping hearts out of caste and making love last. You know, so for me, it's about giving people the wisdom that they need so that they can properly love, you know, and continue to love for the rest of their life. But also, again, seize the day. It sounds trite, but it's like all you have is today. And I'm going to be grateful for today. If nothing's ever perfect in my life, but guess what? I'm going to be grateful today.
Yes.
You know, and that's the biggest thing that I can say. I don't think there's anything more important than waking up and just being grateful. Like, take the time and say, I'm glad that I have my hands still work. I'm still in good health. Like, all my family members are still alive. I'm fortunate. I'm blessed.
Yes, I think daily gratitude is so, so important. And it really starts your day in the right track and the right frame of mind. So thank you so much for being a guest on the Early Accountability Podcast. Again, 24anddivorce.com, Leonardo Cavalli. Until next time, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
It was a pleasure to have you join us on this episode of the Early Accountability Podcast with Kimmy Walker. Be sure to visit earlyaccountability.com to sign up for the Early Accountability newsletter. We look forward to activating your greatness and helping you reach your goals.